If you'll turn back in God's Word to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Over our communion season, I want us to consider just two verses from this chapter, verse 27 and 28. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The context of these verses in Hebrews chapter 9 sets out for us how the Old Covenant included various physical places, such as the temple, and various physical rituals, such as the sacrifices. And these physical things, the temple and the sacrifices, according to the writer of Hebrews, they were always intended just to be shadows or symbols or copies of what was to come. And each of their details and their shortcomings, they were all there to point us towards the true way of salvation, the true means of redemption. They are there to point us to Jesus Christ. That's the context that these verses fall into. The argument that runs through chapter 9 and into chapter 10 sets out the failures and the weaknesses of these old symbols and rituals, such as the animal sacrifices. They had to be repeated year after year. And it's noted that they can't actually change the man inside. And then the argument in chapters 9 and 10 contrasts for us the perfection and the strength of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Here we have set before us the failures and the weaknesses in the old covenant, shadows and copies, but the glory and the wonder of the fulfillment in the new covenant in Christ. And in this new covenant, we see Jesus Christ is superior to the old. Jesus' sacrificial death, rather than having to be repeated year after year, it was a once-for-all sacrifice. It was permanent. It was completely effective for the cleansing of our sin. Into this context and into this argument come verses 27 and 28. And they tell us that just as we are destined to die once, so Christ Jesus offered himself once to take away sin. And Jesus Christ will return again, not to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin, but to bring about the fullness of our salvation. That's what we're looking at over our communion season. I want to divide these verses into three main thoughts. Firstly, tonight for our pre-communion service, I want to think about the appointment that must be kept. The appointment that must be kept. Communion and at the table, we'll be thinking about the atonement which is given. And then our Thanksgiving service on Sabbath evening will be the anticipation of what's to come. But we begin tonight with the appointment that must be kept. Verse 27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that, judgment. There is a divine appointment that we all must keep. And we won't have an option in keeping it. It's an appointment with death and with judgment. And remember, we're holding this in the context of where the old covenant rituals were weak and were just shadows, but Christ is the fulfillment. And into that context, we must remember it's appointed for us to die once, and after that comes judgment. Well, let's note firstly this evening that we are destined to face death. We are destined to face death. There are various views that we'll encounter when we talk about death and dying. There are those who have a very morbid fascination with death. We could maybe think of the stereotypical angst-ridden teenager who has posters and music and clothing that all reflect a dark, heavy, defeatist view of life and death. That's on one side. But then there are those who don't like to think about death at all. And they put any thoughts of death and dying far from their minds. And even at funerals, everything is light and upbeat because any thoughts of death just seem too serious. And so they try to ignore the fact that we will all die. Other people have a view that death is something that is just the course of this life. We will all die in the end. It's just part of the evolutionary process. It comes to us all. There's nothing we can do about it. And after death, we are no more. And then you have another group. And they are those who hold to some sort of reincarnation. Well, death is just a process or a progress. Moving on to the next stage. And our life just keeps repeating through these various stages, a circle of life and death and life and death. But for the Christian, our view is very different to all of these. Yes, we hold that death is serious. It is dark. Yes, we hold that death for the believer isn't something to fear, and so there is a certain sense of joy. We hold a realistic view. Death comes to us all. And we also hold to the view that death isn't the end. We share something in common with all of these views, but our view is very different. Scripture makes it clear that we are destined to die once, and after that, judgment. God's word tells us what's already on our heart. It's a truth that many try to suppress, but they see it around them every day. We will all die. We are destined to face death. And so we know it is a reality. Death is a reality. It comes and it comes to us all. Everyone that we meet is under the same sentence of death. This has been true ever since Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, there has been this divine decree, from dust you are, and to dust you will return. Death is a result of this appointment in Genesis 3:19. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, we will all die. Now, there are some scriptural anomalies to this. There are two examples of those who never had to experience death. Enoch, who walked with God in Genesis chapter 5. And Elijah, who was taken up into heaven. There were those who were raised from the dead, only then to have to experience death a second time. Most notably, Lazarus, the friend of Jesus. The little girl to whom Jesus said, Talitha cum. But these exceptional circumstances are, as we say, exceptions that prove the rule. They are here to show us that they were exceptional. They were unique. They were extraordinary. They were contrary to what all others must experience. And that's why they stand out. In fact, if you read through Genesis chapter 5, where we're told that Enoch walked with God, it's a list of names that at the end of every section it says, and they died, and they died, and they died, and they died. And Enoch stands out as the exception to prove that this is something unique, because we all must face death. death carries with it a permanence. It's a conclusive action. It's a certainty that brings with it an end to life in this world. It is appointed for man to die once. Why? What's the reason for this reality? Well, the reason for death is because of sin. It's not the laws of nature or evolution that have brought forth death. It isn't some sort of cosmic accident. Now, this appointment with death is because sin came into the world through one man. And death came through sin. And so death spread to all men because we are all guilty. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The reason for this destiny with death, this appointment, is because of the sin of Adam. We deserve death because we are all in Adam, Scripture says. He's our representative. We are guilty because he was guilty. But then also added to that, we bring our own guilt and our own sin. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we have an appointment with death. We deserve to face the consequences of a fallen nature and living in a fallen world. Paul says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Death is all around us because of sin. And we must all experience death in this life. It is appointed for man to die once. It's a reality. There's a reason for it. And death should also be a continual reminder to us. Every time we come across death, every time we hear of death, it should be a reminder of our guilt. It should be a reminder of our sin. It should be a reminder that everyone that we meet is under the same sentence of death because it's appointed for all men to die once. And death has no boundaries. It is no respecter of wealth, of rank, of privilege, of education, sometimes even of age. The normal conditions of death are that we are destined to die once. Verse 27 goes on to say that we are destined to face judgment. Not only are we destined to face death, but we're destined to face judgment. The wording of verse 27, it's very stark and abrupt. It says, appointed to die once and after judgment. The ASV has, after that comes judgment. But literally it is, and after judgment. We will all experience death. But we also have an immortal soul. We don't hold to the nihilist view that death is the end and there's nothing more to come. We don't hold to the reincarnation view that we come back as another life or life form to repeat that cycle of life and death over and over again until either we reach some sort of perfection or until we're extinguished. No, here we are told we die once and after that is judgment. After that, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Again, our hearts bear witness to this truth. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, we're told that God has put eternity into man's heart. And so every human being has an understanding, a limited understanding, but still an understanding that there is an eternity. Now, we might suppress this truth in our sin. We might seek to ignore this truth, but it is there in every human heart. Going back to that reminder that death brings. It's a reminder that there is also a judgment. We must face that judgment. Men and women know this. It's there, written on our hearts. This understanding that the things that we do in this life matter. We have an understanding of justice. We have an understanding that sin must be punished. And with that understanding that there is more after death, comes this understanding, although suppressed by sin, that there is judgment. Death is that reminder. We will all have to stand before God. Every human being will be brought face to face with their Creator, the Holy God, the Righteous Lord. There's an appointment that is to be kept, not just with death, but with the courtroom of heaven, where we will be measured and held accountable by the perfect standard of God's holy law. We shall but die once, and we will be judged but once. This judgment is not a judgment of second chances. It's not a waiting room, waiting to see if we can earn any more favor with God. There's no purgatory. After death, judgment. But what is this judgment? Well, this judgment is the judgment of God concerning our failure to keep His holy standard. And as we read from Hebrews chapter 9, we were reading of how the people were to come and approach a holy God. They couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't approach into the tent, the tabernacle. They couldn't come before a holy God because of sin, because of rebellion. There's no way to approach a holy God outside of the sacrifices. Because they knew that approaching God in sin meant judgment. For Adam and Eve, the judgment wasn't just that they would die, but they were put out of the Garden of Eden. They were removed from the presence of God. Yes, God is everywhere. But that intimate fellowship, that walking with God, the presence of the blessing of God, the steadfast love of God, walking with God, that was taken away from them because of their sin. It's the punishment that came. Removed from God's presence. And that's the punishment that all sin deserves. That eternal punishment for sin. And the Bible's very clear on this point. For all who have sinned, we deserve the eternal wrath and anger of the Holy God to be on us eternally. We deserve the punishment and the judgment of hell. This is the consequence of sinning against so great and holy a God. Separation from Him and for all that is good for all eternity. Here we are told that we are destined, appointed to die once, and after, judgment. Our immortal, eternal soul continues on. Even though the body lies in the grave, even though it returns to the dust from which it came, our soul endures. There is no rest and peace at death where the judgment has to come. Many people say rest and peace. They write it on gravestones. Cover social media when someone famous dies. But unfortunately, these people have ignored the truth that's written in their hearts. We are destined to die once, and after that, judgment. on the death of a man, a woman, or a child, brought into judgment. We should never forget that what we deserve is that eternal punishment. Our soul deserves to be in that place where we should experience God's eternal punishment for our sin. And friends, that's a fearful thing. It's what our rebellion against God deserves. But this isn't where verse 27 and 28 end. And we thank God that this verse goes on into verse 28, where we are told that just as we are appointed to die once, and after judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many. And so we see, thirdly, this evening, that we are delivered through Jesus Christ. Not only is there a destiny with death and a destiny with judgment, but here there is a deliverance through Jesus Christ. We are told here that Jesus Christ died once, and that he died once for our sin, to bear the sin of many. Here we are told that Jesus Christ took the judgment that we deserve. And we're going to be thinking more about this on Sabbath day as we look forward to coming to the Lord's table. We're going to be thinking about the atonement that's been given for us. But I want us to remind ourselves this evening that the punishment for sin has been paid for us in Jesus Christ. Atonement has been made. In him, we are forgiven because he bore our sin and our guilt on the cross. As he rose again from the dead, he defeated sin and death. He's removed the sting of sin and death. He's removed the punishment for sin. He took our judgment on himself. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." In Jesus Christ, as we stand before the judgment seat of God, we have an advocate. We have our perfect substitute. And there, Jesus Christ, with the display of the nail marks on his hands, where he's paid the price to set us free, he is there before the throne of God. And in Jesus Christ, we are declared innocent. We die once, and after that comes judgment, but for the believer, that punishment for sin is taken. And we stand in that courtroom as holy, as forgiven, as cleansed, free from guilt and sin. Our destiny to face judgment, it's not one of fear, but it's one of trust and confidence in Jesus Christ, who died once for all, better than the old covenant copies, the shadows of what was to come. They were pointing to Christ. And now in Jesus Christ, we have the fullness. We have everything. In Jesus Christ, we have the perfect blood sacrifice. The price has been paid, better than the blood of goats and calves. Better and more perfect than the Old Testament copies, because Christ himself entered into heaven itself. And he appears in the presence of God on our behalf. He offered himself once for all. So these words in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, they then turn from words of hopelessness to words of wonder and glory for us. It's appointed for you to die once. Praise God. We only have to go through that experience of death once. Jesus Christ has taken the punishment of sin and death. And as we are brought before God, we enter into eternal glory because the judgment has been taken by Him. And we never have to experience death or sin or sorrow or suffering ever again. Once. You just have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death once and into eternal glory, because Jesus Christ has been offered once to bear the sin of many. No more sorrow or weeping or pain. As we look forward to coming to the Lord's table on Sabbath day, we're going to be focusing on the atonement given. That's the main subject of these verses. Not that we die once and face judgment, but we have to understand that so that when we come to look at Christ, we see all that Christ has done for us in giving Himself once for all. We have to remind ourselves that yes, we go through this life and we will experience, unless Christ returns, we will experience death here in this life. But we only have to do it once. And after that, Christ has taken all of the judgment, and so we enter into glory. Because His death was perfect. His death was beautiful. His death has satisfied the wrath of God for our sin. We are also then to make preparation for the appointment that we will have to keep. Remind yourself, we will face death. Are we prepared for that? Do we think about it? Do we consider it? Do we look on it with the hopefulness and certainty that Christ Himself endured it for us? And the judgment has been taken and dealt with. He bore our sin. Do we examine ourselves, not just as we come to the Lord's table, but every day, looking to Jesus Christ, reminding ourselves, it's appointed for me to die once. And after that judgment, Christ has paid the price. Do we live in light of that death? That appointment that's before us. Do we seek then to give every day for Jesus Christ? Living for Christ today. Seeking His glory today because it's appointed for us to die. But just die once. Do we eagerly await seeing Jesus Christ? Looking ahead to that appointment with joy, with perseverance. There is an appointment that we all must keep. It's appointed for us to die once. And after that judgment, but Christ has been offered once for us, bearing our sin. And we eagerly await seeing Him, being with Him. Amen.